Hello and welcome to The Advance, conversations about news and the Mid-America Union Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm Pablo Colindres, Digital Media Manager at the MAUC. Now, before we get into this week's episode, I wanted to fill you in on something we've been working on here. Now, the sex trafficking industry has become one of the most dangerous and sad human rights issues here in the United States. Big cities and travel hubs often attract this so-called market, this human market. Now, in conjunction with the Central States Conference, the NAD, and among others, we are holding a convention, September 9 and 10, in Kansas City. This is the brainchild of Ivana Bernard, who wants to make sure that all are aware of the issue and how to fight it. Here is Ivana telling her story.
I first heard about Veronica's Voice some years ago. I caught the tail end of a program that the church put on, and a representative of Veronica's Voice came and spoke. I only came in at the very last minute, and I just remembered the name. Somehow the name just stayed on my heart. Time went on, and I actually became the leader of our MSA, which is Ministerial Spouses Association group. Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of in a position to, you know, have a group of ladies who are like-minded and who are compassionate. And it was my hope that they would partner with me, mm-hmm. to see how we could help you. I went online and I found you guys and I saw you had a wish list. Mm-hmm. So my thought initially was, okay, well, maybe we can at least do this, raise some money and maybe some awareness, and just try to fulfill as many things on your wish list as we could. Diane Thurber, mm-hmm. Of Mid-America Union, we were on a retreat, and she kind of asked around the room to the different president's wives, who most are also Ministerial Spouse Association leaders, mm-hmm. what kind of projects and things that you would like to see happen in the year coming. I said, well, you know, I would love to help this group, Veronica's Voice. Just had a little conversation some months later. That was October. Mm-hmm. In February, I got a call from Donna Jackson,
mm-hmm. We met.
North American Division. And she said, you know, we've got two compassion projects a year that we do, and we would love to apply, right. and see if it can happen. You've got 6 to 6 o'clock tonight. That was at 10 o'clock that day. Never done a proposal before. It was all kind of crazy, but it worked out, and I'm so happy to be able to just see, even in this short space of time, what it is you guys do and the progress that you guys have made, and happy to be a part of it.
Oh, and I remember meeting you when we talked on the phone for the first time. I had been just praying, mm-hmm. and asking God to help us to help the ladies that we work with, whatever that may look like, because we work on, you know, physical health, mental health is a huge component, mm-hmm. is the top priority component coming into this program. Dental vision, we try to work on, working on OB health with these women, working with a spiritual component too, and then life skills and just love and encouragement and acceptance for where they're at.
We at Central States, we have agreed to partner and walk alongside of you guys for 2 years, and you know, I'm hoping that, of course, with volunteer recruitment, right. it will go all, you know, much longer than that. And this has kind of inspired a passion in me to try to prevent,
exactly,
you know, to start on that the front side, and let our kids know, let our young adults know, let people know. These are the multiple ways you can get into becoming entangled and ensnared and entrapped,
right.
in this life, and make them aware of what those things are and how to avoid them. And that's part of why we're doing our weekend,
right.
our Hear Their Voices weekend. We are, the first event we're going to do is a symposium concert, mm-hmm. symposy concert, I call mm-hmm. it. And it will be a way to kind of just share some encouragement and some hope, but also to inform. Mm-hmm. And our target for that is kind of our faith-based community of mm-hmm. of all different faiths, to come out and to kind of just get an idea of how this looks in today's society, how it looks in America, which is right. very different from how international sex trafficking often looks.
Yes, yes.
And to try to also raise some funds mm-hmm. So that we can make sure you guys are up and running well.
Yes.
And then Sunday, our expo is mm-hmm. for the community.
Right.
We just want to, you know, kind of make them aware, educate them, and increase awareness so that, you know, maybe if we can slow it up on the front end a little bit,
right.
you won't
yes.
have so much work on the back
yeah.
end.
And I would love to work myself out of a job.
Yes, yes.
Desire
I'm trying to work
be,
you out of a job.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
If you want to learn more or find out how to donate, you can do so at hearthervoices.org. Once again, that is hearthervoices.org. Now, let's get into this week's episode. A couple weeks ago, I went to South Dakota, Custer, South Dakota, to cover the Pathfinder Camp Re going on there. When I was there, I met with the district pastor, Sam Thomas, and he is holding some Bible studies at the Veterans Affairs offices in Hot Springs in South Dakota. And his story captivated me, and I hope you enjoy the story.
Tell me about yourself, your background. You know?
Well, there's a lot.
Let's start with this. So you went to school at Southern for theology,
yeah.
but you ended up as police. How
okay.
did that happen?
Well, I was married to a different woman. We had three boys. I was at Southern. I was I finished in 99. I think I graduated in 98.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a call to Michigan. And my wife came in one day and said that she didn't love me anymore and that she was leaving. This was Christmas Day, Christmas before I graduated. It was somebody else. And so she left me and the boys. And she moved into an apartment and was doing her own thing. And, of course, I'm going through the reaction of most normal people when they leave, trying to figure out what's going on, who she's seeing, you know.
Right.
And trying to still manage to keep my grades up through all that. I don't know how, by the grace of God. And take care of my boys. Anyway, run through that quickly. Michigan rescinded the call because she left me.
Got it.
And so now I don't, not only am I graduating, I'm graduating without a job, where I had a job, you know, mm-hmm. 10 minutes ago. And, but Georgia Cumberland stepped up and I got a job. Stan Patterson, who's now up at Andrews, gave me a job, and I was an associate pastor nearby. But I was going through a divorce. Okay. And going through the divorce, I started focusing more on my problems.
Right.
Instead of you know, focusing on my relationship with the Lord. And, you know.
Which, I mean, could be understandable for a lot of people.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
It takes up so much of your immediate eyesight.
It does.
Yeah.
But it overwhelms you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that close relationship and you aren't holding on, then you start focusing more on you, on your problems, and you start drifting away,
mm-hmm.
which is what I felt like, what I know I did. And go to court thinking I'm going to get the kids because she left me and the kids, and didn't. Lost the boys. She got them.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to pay child support, which is, you know, I don't have a problem doing. I want to take care of my children, but between school loans and child support, there's nothing left for me to pay rent.
Right.
And some friends stepped up and gave me a place to stay, and they understood. I had great friends there, but as this continued on, then I lost my father. He passed away. I just quit.
Right.
And I walked away from the ministry and went back to what I knew, which was law enforcement. I had been a police officer before.
Oh, you had? Okay. Got it.
And got back to Texas, and I had to get a couple jobs. I was working part-time dispatching for the police department and doing some other work at a hospital and and even doing child care, watching, you know, kids after school care to pay that child support and provide for what I needed. And eventually got a full-time job with the Cleveland Police Department, and I did a crime scene for 9 years with them and 1 year with Beaumont. And I got a call from a friend that I went to school with that we graduated together, Brad Traxler. He was up in North Dakota. And he said, I was in the president's office today. And he said, we have an opening in Custer and Hot Springs. Do you know anybody that, you know, could take that job? And he said, the only name I could think of was yours. He says, you know, I mean, I knew other people, but that's the only name that was in my mind. I couldn't think of anything else. So he says, I told him about your experience, everything that happened, you know, what you went through and how everything fell apart, and, you know, your relationship with the Lord kind of fell apart. And he said, well, call him and see if he's interested. So I'm having this conversation on the phone, and my current wife is listening to me. I got remarried when I moved back to Keene. And she looks at me as I hang up, and she goes, no. Not only no, but no.
Right.
and you know, I'm almost at the verge of tears that the Lord would even consider letting me come back into ministry.
Right.
Because, you know, I thought I'd burn that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was almost crying. And then she said, no, not only no, but, you know. So, but I didn't argue with her. I said, okay. I said, you don't want to talk about it? You don't want to pray about it? No. And she was mad at me. And so I said, okay. And I never said another word, but I started praying. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, if this calls from you, because that's the only way I want to come back, is if this is from you, then I don't want to say no. You know, I don't want to be Jonah. I want to come back.
Right.
But I need a sign from you that this is from you. And what I need is for you to change your mind. And like I said, I never said another word.
Right.
About 3 weeks later, we were sitting in church in Crowley, and our pastor, Buster Swoops, was preaching. And she leans over and she says, do you think the call is still open? I said, well, I don't know. I'll call after church and find out. And I called the next day, and it was. And we did an interview and ended up back in the ministry after 15 years in law enforcement. So that's what got us here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're doing a ministry with the VA. Can you explain that a little bit
more? Yeah, we were, when I first got here, you know, of course, we're trying to settle in and get to the work with churches. But I had an elder down in Hot Springs that works at the VA, where when they're coming in, he registers them and gets an evaluation of some kind. And this young man came in, and he was, you know, talking with him in the conversation and the process of doing all this. And he says, hey, do you know a good church in the area?
Hmm.
He says, well, matter of fact, I do. And he invited him to come, and he did. He came that Sabbath. And during potluck, I had a chance to sit down with him and visit with him. And his name was Forrest. And I said, Forrest, have you ever considered, you know, studying the Bible and finding out what God has planned for your life? Because he was telling me about his experience and where he was at and why he was at the VA because of an addiction.
Right.
And he said, yeah. He said, I'd love to. I said, well, you know, what day this week is good for you? And he said, Thursday. And I said, do you want me to meet you at the VA? Or do you know, want to come here? He said, you'd come to the VA. I'm like, but it's only, you know, 5 blocks that way. Yeah, I'd come to the VA.
Yeah.
So I showed up, and not only was he there, but he brought a friend. And so we started this Bible study, kept, you know, praying about it every week. Next week there were three, the next week there were five, next week it got all the way up to 11. You,
at this point, you're not putting signs up or anything,
right?
Not
doing nothing.
Yeah.
These are just, they're telling other people about it and bringing them. We got all the way up to 11, and it fluctuated back between 7 and 11 for a while. And the guy that started ended up getting kicked out, you know, because he had some problems that, you know, his addiction caught him. And, but we continued. And we've studied everything, although we went through, you know, of course, the State of the Dead. And, you know, they had trouble with, you know, understanding, because they've always known it this way.
Right, yeah.
But we studied it a second time because they had questions, and we went over, you know, stuff again. And one young lady's response was, "Why have they been lying about it all this time?" I said, "Well, it's not that they're lying, because we just studied about Satan, and he was the origin of evil." And I said, "Satan is working hard to deceive people, and he's got a lot of the world deceived about what happens when you die. But this is what the Bible tells us. And, you know, we want to tell as many people as possible what the truth is." And she was just excited to talk it out. They all were. And so then we came up to, you know, another hard one, the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she's like, "Well, you think here in the Western world, we would have already changed that back to Sabbath the way it's supposed to be, what the Bible says." And again, you know, we talked about how Satan has worked hard,
mm-hmm.
you know, to deceive. But it's a great program. But I'm really excited about what's coming up here pretty quick.
Yeah, what is that?
We had this Celebrate Life in Recovery. Cherie Peters does this program on 3ABN.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this, and we've actually been doing this program here in Custer with our church, and effectively. And our first, I guess, person that was involved in that decided that he was going to, he needed more help, and went to a drug, what's it called, DAP. It's a program out in California, and they actually do, he's been in this program for 18 months.
Okay.
He's clean from meth, which was his
oh, wow. drug
of choice. And he's on fire for the Lord, and he's coming back here in August, and he wants to be mentored and help other people that are struggling with this issue. And he wants to give his testimony, and he's just excited about getting back and telling others
mm-hmm.
about what God has done for him. Well, I wanted to do this program down in Hot Springs because there's a lot of people that struggle with addictions. And this program not only deals with struggling with addiction, but struggles with, you know, if you have problems with anger or, you know, problems with pornography or problems with whatever, mm-hmm. whatever the problem is. So this same elder was at work, and he asked his boss there, you know, "Can I put up some advertisements in case some people want to come down to our church to this Celebrate Life in Recovery? It's a 12-step faith-based, you know, program." And she says, "Well, why don't you just do it here at the VA?"
Hmm.
And, you know, she was the chief, you know, the one in charge. And he's like, "Well, can we?" She goes, "Absolutely." So I think it's whatever, not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday.
Okay.
We start that program at the VA. And we're going to be doing the 12-step faith-based program for recovering addicts.
Cool. And this is geared towards veterans or towards the community down there in Hot Springs?
Well, this one is just going to be for veterans. Only veterans that are there at the VA seeking help right now can attend. And by the way, this program is intertwined with the Steps to Christ.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it's based off of. The whole program is using Steps to Christ to work through this 12-step program. And yes, only veterans will be able to attend that are in the VA currently. But when we get done with that, we plan on following up with a second one there at the church,
okay.
you know, for those outside, because we've already got interest expressed in
right.
doing that as well.
Now, it seems to me that you hit the ground running. You came from Texas and started hit the ground running. What's the catalyst for you? Why are you wanting to reach out and do these things?
I really want to make up for lost time.
Mm-hmm.
15 years, you know, 16, I don't know what it was. It may have been close to 19 years that, you know, from when I left the ministry. And I want to make up time. You know, I told the Lord, let me make up for, you know, all this time I spent out here. And so, yeah, he hit the ground running. Pray every day and ask the Lord to give me divine appointments, to put people in my path that I would have the opportunity to share, you know, what God has done for me, what God is doing in our church, what God can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
I've ended up not only doing that here in the area, but I'm also still reaching people back in the police departments where I've been working and sharing with them. And in fact, a good friend of mine that I started sharing with right before we moved, because I knew I had the call, supposed to be baptized in the next 2 weeks.
what is your vision for your church here in Custer Hot Springs? How many churches do you have?
Custer and Hot Springs.
Okay.
My goal is that, you know, when I, the first week I was in both churches, I said, you know, if our church, you know, disintegrated, blew up, whatever, was gone, just removed from the face of the planet here, would anybody in the community know?
Mm-hmm.
Would anybody know? Say, hey, where'd those Adventists go? And I said, if you don't think that would happen, then we need to change that. I want us to be able to reach this community and be able to touch lives in a way that they know who we are. If anybody stops and says, hey, do you know where the Adventist Church is? Oh, yeah, they're right over there on Montgomery, or they're right over there on Chicago down in Hot Springs. The problem that we're dealing with is there's this convenience and / liquor store next door to our one of our churches. Somebody walked into that store and asked, hey, do you know where the Adventist Church is? And they're like, no.
Right next door.
Right next door. So, that, you know, it was discouraging, but it's changed. And in fact, I made friends with the manager of that convenience store and have actually been involved in reaching people outside of our church on 3 to 5 occasions because of my relationship with this manager of this store. He's called me, you know, because one of his employees was in crisis. Can you come down? And, you know, we got down there and helped and helped resolve that issue. He had an ex-employee that was on hospice and about to die, and he wanted me to come down and visit with her and give her the opportunity to know the Lord. And we did that. I mean, it's just situation after situation. I've developed a really good relationship with this manager,
mm-hmm.
and which, you know, most of the time people get uncomfortable about walking into liquor stores. Well, I do that a lot down there because I'm going to visit my friend who lives next door to the church. So now when people walk into that store and they say, hey, do you know where Adventist Church is? Yeah, they're right next door. You know, they know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to change. That's my first goal. You know, of course, my goal also is to fill the pews to where we have to start another church or build a bigger one. And, you know, that takes time too. You know, I would have liked to have already filled the pews.
It's more of a long-term goal. Or a continuing goal.
But, you know, I've learned while being here that with God, all things are possible. He can build that church quickly. He can, you know, it may take a few years. There may be work that we need to do on our foundation before we start building and making it bigger. And I think that's where we're at.
Okay.
So I enjoy working with youth. I have 4 or 3, sometimes 5 in Custer, which, by the way, is a lot because my membership there is only 18. So, I mean,
You know,
proportionally, I've got a good...
In a town of 1,800, that's not bad at all.
Not bad.
Yeah.
So we, but I would love to have a whole bunch more youth, and I enjoy working with them, which is really neat that I got to come help out with the Pathfinders here in Custer this week because I enjoy being a part of it. And I got to see an old friend from Southern, Ken Rogers, and it was good to see him. But, you know, passion is just doing whatever God wants me to do. And I literally get up every day and pray and say, Lord, you know, this is what I was planning on doing, but whatever your plans are, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, he's kept me pretty busy.
That's good. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for sitting down and taking the time here.
Thanks for listening to The Advance. Please join us next time.